The majority of the civilian soldiers of the Western democracies, by contrast, just wanted to survive and return to normal life as soon as possible. That also meant that American and British generals had to eschew the dashing aggression of their Russian and German counterparts, who could squander lives with impunity. Mr. Hastings excessively admires two German field marshals, Gert von Rundstedt and Erich von Manstein, whereas only Bill Slim and George Patton rise above the general mediocrity of Allied field commanders. Luckily, the tactical virtuosity of the Germans and Japanese was more than matched by their strategic incompetence in declaring war against Russia and America. Less hubristic and more informed leaders would have realised that both countries had the manpower and industrial resources to prevail in a war of attrition. Overall, however, Mr. Hastings does an admirable job of weaving together deeply personal stories with great events and high strategy. This raises the question of whether another book covering essentially the same ground is necessary. The answer depends on what the reader is looking for. Mr. Beaver, who is known for using the sometimes unbearably moving diaries and letters of ordinary soldiers to shed new light on old battles, is otherwise less generous than Mr. Hastings in the space he gives to primary sources. He has written what is in many ways a more conventional military history. But where he is good, he is very good. Mr. Beaver is full of insight about the connections between things. He sets out to understand how the whole complex jigsaw fits together. Thus, the relatively little-known Battle of Khalkhin Gol, in which Japan's plans to grab Soviet territory from its base in Manchuria were undone in the summer of 1939 by the Red Army's greatest and most ruthless general, Georgi Zhukov, had profound consequences. The Japanese Strike South Party prevailed over the Strike Northers, ensuring that Stalin would not have to fight a war on two fronts when the Germans launched Operation Barbarossa in 1941. Mr. Beaver decries the rebarbative Bomber Harris's attempt to win the war by bringing death and destruction to every major German city as a moral and strategic failure. But he also points out that by forcing the Nazis to move squadrons of Luftwaffe fighters from Russia to defend the fatherland, Harris's campaign allowed the Soviet Air Force to establish vital air supremacy. Mr. Beaver also has a surer hand than Mr. Hastings in describing how the great land battles of the war unfolded. Although his judgments are less waspishly entertaining than his rivals, they are also more measured. He is notably more generous about Britain's contribution to defeating Hitler, which Mr. Hastings at times appears to think was mainly confined to the code-breaking centre at Bletchley Park, and after defeating the Luftwaffe in 1940, providing an unsinkable aircraft carrier for the build-up of American military power.